very good morning to you. And I think we are still in the Chinese New Year period. I want to once again take the opportunity to wish all of you a blessed Lunar New Year. Our church will be celebrating the 30th anniversary sometime in November this year. I know some of you were here since the beginning of the first day of the church. This morning, we stand in awe, remembering God and the great things He has done for us and our church. I have a question for you. Do you know the birth date of the church? Do you know where the date was inscripted? Now, I guess half the numbers in this congregation do not know where the birth date was inscripted. For the rest of us who know, yes, it is on the plaque built on the wall, into the wall at the front of the building. As you enter the church from the car park, your light, before you enter into this building, you'll see a plaque. It has been there for almost 30 years, and the color seems to blend with the wall now, such that not many of us take notice of it. Let me read the words. This stone was laid by Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh Siang Hui of Life Bible Presbyterian Church, Gilstead Road, for the extension of God's kingdom to Woodlands, into Malaysia, and to all the world. Amen. Dated this 20th day of November in the second year of our Lord. Now, this morning's message wants us to give some prominence to the plaque. The reason is, it is the testimony to God's great faithfulness to us and to this church. The stone was laid by the late Reverend Toh. I'm sure if he is still alive today, he would want to give all the glory and honor to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. New Life Bible Presbyterian Church has a history that spans 30 years. My dear New Lifers, may we know that God first wrote our history. And unless we see His grace and goodness in our church, we can't love her. There will be no special attachment to her. The scripture text in Joshua chapter 4 tells us that the Israelites had just crossed the river Jordan. And God instructed Joshua to choose 12 men, one from each tribe, to carry a stone and set them up in a place where the people were lodging. Verse 20 of our text tells us that it was in the land of Gilgal. Now, what is the purpose of pitching the 12 stone? Please look at verses 19 to 24. Let me read these verses to you, that you may have an idea of the purpose of setting up a stone heap. Verse 19 says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he said unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What means these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we are gone over. 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. These verses tell us the heap of stone is a memorial. Verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So it is a sign as a memorial. Now the word sign means a monument. The heap of stone was a monument for memory. Historical monuments are precious remains. It tells the people today about the past. Some of you read the Straits Times yesterday, and it reported that the government had made a civilian war memorial a national monument. The aim is to remember the ordinary people who died during the Japanese occupation. Now, may I say, the plaque in the front of the church building is a precious monument for New Life Bible Presbyterian Church. It has historical facts inscripted on it. It reminds us of the faithfulness of our God. It tells us how far have we gone in the ministry, and also that everything here is painstakingly built up by our forefathers. Joshua commanded the 12 men to set up a memorial to commemorate the crossing of the River Jordan. Now, what are the objectives of these commemorative stones? I want to give you three. First of all, I want you to know that the monument provides encouragement and promotes reverence in the people of God. You read this in verse 6 and the first part. The Bible says that this may be a sign among you. And then verse 7, the last phrase, these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And then I want you to look at verse 24, the last phrase. It says, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, if you put these three phrases together, we see that the monument is for this purpose. One, for encouragement. Two, for the promotion of reverence amongst the people of God. The monument reminds the people of Israel how they crossed the River Jordan. God brought up the river, and the people walked on dry ground into the promised land. Israel must never forget the work of God. They crossed the river by the power of God. The aim of the monument is to provide encouragement. It encourages us to trust in God. I'm sure we all know this verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We know this verse, yet how often we become fretful when we are faced with trials in our life, isn't it? I've said previously, when I was talking about the crossing of the River Jordan, that this crossing reminiscent the crossing of the Red Sea. And going back to the incident, the crossing of the Red Sea, you remember the children of Israel came to the Red Sea? Was this huge sea of water before them? And then behind them was the chariot of Pharaoh. They were afraid. Moving forward, they thought they would be drowned in the sea. Turning back, they would be killed by the soldiers of Pharaoh. And God said to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, And when Moses brought touch the water of the sea, it parted. It opened up. Have we ever tried to imagine how it looked like? I know some of us do see the movies, Moses, the Ten Commandments, you know, and then you see how it opened up. I'm sure those are done by special effects. But can you imagine that day, the actual thing, the wall of water, it must be that very high, you know, and it just rose up, and the land dried, and the people walk across on dry land. Now the monument reminds the people that the work is done by God. And it reminds us today that the God of the people of Israel is also our God. So with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do we have faith? I think as we read this chapter, Joshua chapter 4, commemorating the crossing of the River Jordan, it encourages us to have faith and more faith. And it also tells us that somehow our faith is lacking. May we pray that God grant us great faith. The monument also promotes reverence amongst the people. Verse 24 says, all the people of the earth might know the hand of God, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua says that the people of the earth might know the hand of God, that it is mighty. Now, as people of the world, in other words, all people, when they read this passage, they must see the mighty hand of God. Whether they acknowledge it or not, indeed, the thing happened through the mighty hand of God. I want you to note the last phrase, that ye might fear the Lord your God. You see, the writer of the Bible put it in a very personal way. He says that ye don't care what the people of the world think. Okay, their response is not that matter. Your and my response to the record of this passage is important. When we read this passage and about the story of the crossing of the Red Sea and the River Jordan, I hope there is reverence in our heart. The reverence for God and His mighty power. Have we experienced the great mighty power of God in our life? And I've said again and again, you know, that if we want to experience it, then first of all, we must be willing to take trials. Right? It is great trials that will strengthen your faith, enabling you to see God's mighty hand. I think as human beings, we don't want difficult times, we don't want trials, you know. We want to avoid it. But when it comes, I hope we can be thankful to God. Because God is going to show you His mighty hand. I want to read a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. So the wise man says that you can't stop what God wants to do. Okay? And you cannot do what God does not want us to do. And the conclusion is this, that we must have fear, the fear of God. Now, the word fear here is a reverential fear. A fear out of honor and great respect for our God. I hope we have that kind of fear in our hearts for our great God. Now, the monument was pitched in Gilgal. We are told in verse 20. Now, the name Gilgal comes from the Hebrew word galel, which means to roll something on, against, from, or unto. So Gilgal means either a rolling or a circle of stones. So every time Israel would return to Gilgal, they will see the circles of stones and remember what God had done to roll away the reproach of Egypt, the water from the sea, Red Sea, and now the River Jordan. The very sight of the stones was to be an encouragement. It is also a reminder of the sovereign power of the Lord over nations and creation, so that they might fear God forever and remain faithful to their purpose in the plan of God. The second objective of the monument, it promotes instruction to future generation. Now I want you to look at verses 6 to 7 and then verses 21 to 23. Let me read verses 21 to 23. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. The Ministry of Education in Singapore, introduced a program called the Heritage Trail some 20 years ago. The purpose of the trail is to enrich students with the knowledge of the past and introduce to them the many historical sites in our country. On the south bank of Singapore River is a statue of Sir Stamford Raffles. Do you know what is the purpose of placing a statue there? Well, I know many of you knew the purpose. It marks the landing site of Sir Stamford Raffles on the 20th of January 1819. And then there is also a plaque below the statue. It reads, on this historical site, Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles first landed in Singapore on the 28th January 1819, and with genius and perception changed the destiny of Singapore from an obscure fishing village to a great seaport and modern metropolis. You know, when our children go and view that statue and read those words, they're getting historical facts. Right? This is the landing site of Raffles when he came to Singapore. And his coming changed the history of this country. Going back to the plaque that was laid on the wall, okay, just outside our church. I said earlier on that there are historical facts. I say that this is a precious monument. We must give prominence to it. I'm not saying that the piece of stone is important. Neither is the heap of stones that were placed by the people of Israel. It's not merely the statue of Sir Stamford Raffles that is important. But what is significant is there is a real history in it. And for us, when we look at history, we remember it is his story. Whose story is that? The story that is written by God. That's why I say that New Life BP Church has 30 years of history, because God first wrote the history. hope it inspires us, you know, in seeing the goodness and mercy of God, His faithfulness. I hope it also creates in us a love for this church, because we see how good God is to us and to our church. Joshua chapter 4 verse 6 says, when your children ask their father in time to come, then answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The Israelites were to constantly remind their children the wonderful work of God in their national history and in their lives. Parents, particularly fathers, are reminded of our responsibility of communicating the Word of God to our children. Parents dare not and cannot abdicate this to others. In this passage, God charges parents with this privilege and responsibility. So God says, when your children ask you about this heap of stones, fathers, tell them it is a memorial to remember how God opened up the Red Sea, opened up the River Jordan, and our forefather crossed on dry land. If God so will that the Lord Jesus return is tarried, and another 30 years down the road, in 30 years' time, I think a number of us will not be here. I don't think I'll be here. Okay. I hope your children can come to New Life BP Church and look at that plaque and say, this is where my parents, my grandparents, worship God. This plaque testify to the goodness of God. Now, I know 60 years is not that long. Huh? Okay, I mean, there are churches over 100 years history. You know, but I hope we can see God's goodness. Parents have this responsibility. Let me quote another verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Tell your children. In other words, tell them every opportunity given to us. Tell them about the goodness of God. I hope we can say that we have enjoyed God's goodness, and that every time when I gather my children together, they know that their parents enjoy God's goodness, and that they can trust in God too for blessings in their life. The third objective of the monument, it presents a testimony to other nations. I want you to look at 24 and the first part, verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That the people of the earth, we're talking about people in the earth, all the people, in other words, may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. You see, the monument is a testimony to the people of the world. This is a work done by a great God, that the people of the world may stand in awe and say, I want to know this great and mighty God. It also reminds the people of Israel her purpose as a nation of priests. Remember, we are told that they are royal priesthood, a holy nation. You read this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. These are words used to describe the people of Israel. They are also words to describe us today. Okay, we have the privilege of being engrafted into the nation of Israel and become part of the chosen people of God. And what is our purpose as priests? To declare the holiness of God, so that people may know that the God we believe in is holy. Christians are living stone of a holy temple, living memorials of the power of God. I hope we all have that testimony. Our God is powerful. And Israel, today, all of us Christians have a responsibility to show to the world who God is. Now, I want to come to the second main outline. I want you to see the objective lessons for us today. And let me quickly mention a few. Before that, let me once again say that we ought to thank God for this church building. It is a testimony to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When men see this building, they know that this is a church. Beside the building, what else formed the memorials of the saving grace of God? What do we do to testify to the world we are worshiping the true and the living God? Now, I want to give you a few suggestions. First of all, if we want to testify to the world that our God is a true and living God, then we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And let me read from verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and is so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So there is a clear command here that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You see, when we come weekly to worship God in this manner, you know, the people opposite, they come to the market, the residents living across the road, when they see us coming into church, they know that we are a unique group of people. Others will be going to the shopping centers, looking for places to visit, to tour, but you and I come to church because we are Christians. We believe in a true and a living God. So I've said that by coming together in worship regularly, it's a testimony to the world that we are worshiping God. I wrote in a news line some weeks ago on the subject, remember the Sabbath. And we know that keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. The Israelites are commanded to keep the Sabbath holy. And one of the reasons is this, that the world might know that the Jews are different from them. We keep the Lord's Day holy so that the world may know that we are different from them. Secondly, if we want to be a witness to the world, I'm talking about unbelieving world, we should be taking the Lord's Supper regularly. You know, the Jews were told to keep the Passover, but this is one of the conditions to being Jewish. They must keep the Passover. And for any Gentiles who want to believe in Jehovah God, must keep the Passover and go through the circumcision. That is for the Old Testament. Today, we take the Lord's Supper. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Paul says, "For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." See, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the unbelieving people ask, "Why do you do this?" And we tell them, it is a remembrance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are telling them the gospel. We are telling them that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin, buried, rose again, and he's coming back. So for this reason, if you are baptized, you are a believer, you are baptized, you should not ignore the fact that you must take the Holy Communion. Do not neglect it. It is a testimony and it's important for your spiritual life. Now, the next thing I want to suggest to you is this. That if you want to be a witness to the world, then we should remember that there are some special occasions, some special dates that we want to keep. Like Christmas, Good Friday, Easter. Well, let me say first of all that the dates are not the accurate ones. We do not know when Christ was born, the exact date. Okay? I mean, Bible scholar may try to do some calculation and come up with a formula. Okay? But we can't say that that is a correct date. Okay? I've dated from a Bible scholar that says it's 3rd of April, all right? And then there are people who say, oh no, it is on the 30th of April. You see, the dates are conflicting. Never mind about the date. But the world knew that on Good Friday, Christians remember the death of Jesus Christ. And for this matter, we come to church to worship God. So that people may know that, oh, you are Christian and you believe in the death of Jesus Christ. That's why we will be having our Good Friday worship this year. Not Christmas. I know that, again, December 25th is not an exact date. But since it has been designated as a national holiday, and the people of the world know that this day, especially for the Christians, to commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to worship God on Christmas Day. I know you have other concerns, but I want you to remember that we are here not following a tradition, less the wrong kind of observation of the day, but we are here worshiping God, and we can worship God any day, right? We should be worshiping God often, every day. And for this reason, if we come to worship God, it is a testimony to the world. I'm bringing this suggestion to you. In conclusion, I just want to make mention of what I once heard when I was doing my national service. A soldier came and told me that one of our colleagues who claimed to be a Christian is not a genuine believer. Now, this one who came to tell me that, you know, this colleague is not a genuine believer, he is an unbeliever. Okay? Because this colleague who claimed to be a Christian, and others felt that he's not a Christian, always wanted to take or to be excused from duties during all the major Christian festivals, in a sense. So this friend says, no, he's not a Christian. So I want to know why. He says the reason is he doesn't attend church at all. So I hope you can see that by coming to church, we testify to the world that we are Christians. And God commands us to do so. This morning, we read about the crossing of the River Jordan and how the people of Israel were told to commemorate it. I want to say, remember God's goodness in our lives and in our church. Love the church. Love your brethren. All right? And take your spiritual life seriously. It is precious. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Joshua chapter 4, which tells us about the commemoration of the crossing of River Jordan. And this morning, we have seen some lessons that we can draw from this commemorative act by pitching 12 stones. Dear God, I pray that you encourage your people to always look back and see how God has been good to us, and that give us the desire to be faithful to you. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.